This is News from the Center, 1450 AM WRCE and 107.7 FM W299 CD Richland Center. And always on the Civic Media app.
ABC News, I'm Sherry Preston. For the second time in 3 days, Palestinian health officials and witnesses say Israeli forces fired on people as they headed to an aid distribution site in Gaza. 27 people were killed in the most recent attack. Two people remain in critical condition in Boulder, Colorado, after Sunday's firebomb attack. The suspect, a 45-year-old man named Mohammed Solomon, is now facing multiple charges, including attempted murder. ABC's Mola Lenghi is in Boulder.
Authorities say the suspect confessed, saying he had been planning this for a year, waiting until after his daughter graduated high school to conduct the attack. Authorities saying the suspect allegedly learned how to make them on YouTube. Also, finding a backpack weed sprayer filled with gasoline. Officials say he specifically targeted the Zionist group that had gathered in Boulder after learning about the group from an online search.
South Koreans voting in a snap election triggered by the ouster of their former president, Yoon Suk-yeol. This is ABC News.
For WRCE 107.7, I'm Joanne Krulatz. Vernon County has received a $255,500 grant to install new emergency backup power generators at three critical county facilities. This grant is funded through the Federal Emergency Management Agency's Hazard Mitigation Grant Program and administered by Wisconsin Emergency Management. FEMA will cover 75% of the project cost. WEM will cover 12.5%, and Vernon County will cover the required local match of 12.5%. The grant funds will allow the county to install a new generator at Vernon Manor, one at the Erlinson Building and one to serve the Courthouse Annex and Banta Buildings. The current generators at these sites were installed in 2000 and have exceeded their useful lifespan. These critical facilities rely on emergency backup power to remain operational during a power outage caused by extreme weather events and other uncontrollable conditions. In addition to reducing the risk of operational failure, the new generators will offer more fuel efficiency and reduce the need for repairs, both of which will result in cost savings for the county. Vernon County is accepting proposals from licensed electricians to conduct this work. Proposals are due June 27th. More information can be found at vernoncountywi.gov. For more information or questions about this project, contact Amy Oliver, Community Development Director, at 608-637-5379. Inquiries about the proposals can be directed to Phil Hewitt, Highway Commissioner and Building Supervisor, at 608-637-5452. Today's forecast calls for cloudy skies and wet conditions. For WRCE News, I'm Joanne Krulatz.
The Brewers win again. Hi, I'm Mike Clemens with sports. The Brewers face the Reds again tonight at Great American Ballpark. The crew won their eighth game in a row last night, 3-2 over Cincinnati. A home run by Christian Yelich and good pitching from Aaron Savalier and the bullpen. Brewers manager Pat Murphy, who's been dealing with a bad head cold on this road trip.
No question. Savali did, he responded very well after the first inning and made big pitches in the second inning, settled in the third, fourth, and fifth, and very important. And then our Rob Z continues to do the job. And Koenig, Uribe, and McGill, very good again.
NFL at the Packers OTAs. Head coach Matt LaFleur says, take a close look at defensive end Edgerrin Cooper coming back in his second season, 10 pounds heavier.
He's certainly, his body looks different. I don't know if you guys could tell, but he's like 240 pounds right now. And I think there was a time when we came back last year where he was like 220.
With sports, I'm Mike Clemens.
Your news, conversations, and a whole lot of fun. It's all on your local Civic Media radio station or the Civic Media app.
Cloudy today with scattered showers and thunderstorms likely. In fact, we could get some heavy rain, a half inch to an inch or more possible later today through tonight. Our high today in the upper 70s to near 80. We'll drop to the mid to upper 50s tonight. Tomorrow, a few lingering showers with a high in the low 70s. I'm meteorologist Sean Cable. Currently, it's 71.
Nightlight with Pete Schwalbe.
Matt Miller, Milwaukee-based film critic. The film Sinners, the more distance I have from it, the more I liked it. Is that an Oscar film?
I think there is a love for what Sinners is doing, that a studio movie was this interesting and creative and thoughtful, but also entertaining. This is not the last you will hear about Sinners this year. I'd be shocked if it doesn't get a Best Picture nomination.
Nightlight with Pete Schwalbe. Weeknights from 6 till 8 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the Civic Media app. Amicus, a law review with Jim Santel.
The Trump administration arresting and deporting these supposed gang members without giving them due process is one of the steps to becoming an authoritarian government.
Dale, thank you so much for the call. And again, I second all of that. Bring them all back and afford them the due process that's a part of our nation, a part of this law, and a part of our tradition in administering justice.
Amicus, a law review with Jim Santel. Saturday mornings from 9 to 11. Todd Alba.
Hey, everybody. Join us next time as we'll take a look at what's happening in the state budget, your phone calls on that, and what's worse, join us.
The Todd Alba Show, weekdays 2 to 4. You're listening to News from the Center, WRCE.
Across Wisconsin on Civic Media, you're listening to Mornings with Pat Kreitlow, powered by Up North News. Now, from our Lake Wissota studio, here is the founding editor of Up North News, Pat Kreitlow.
Hey, good morning. It is 7:06. It's nice to have you here up north on this Tuesday morning, June 3rd, 2025. And still ahead in this hour, we're going to talk to Lincoln County dairy farmer Hans Breitenmoser and Sheila Everhart from the Wisconsin Agricultural Tourism Association about June Dairy Month events. We'll also talk to Sheila about legislation that's being considered in Madison, or should be considered by some, and talking about the, what do they call them, wedding barns, basically these barns that have become social venues, and how they got the short end of the stick, shall we say, in a rewrite of liquor laws governing Wisconsin establishments, bars and restaurants, distilleries, brewers, distributors, things like that. And so we'll talk to Sheila a bit about that coming up this hour. In our next hour, we'll talk to Civic Media political editor Dan Schaefer of the Recombobulation Area about stories in Wisconsin politics. And I'll have much more to say in just a couple of moments here about Congressman Derek Van Orden and his ongoing addiction to social media and the dangers that it holds for his own constituents. But first, it is time to take care of things in the Scani Summer Text to Win contest. It's done statewide across the network 4 times a day. You could win $100 cash. You could win a pair of Milwaukee Brewers club-level tickets. Each entry puts you in the drawing for one of the grand prizes. That would be a Wisconsin Dells area vacation at the Ringling House Bed and Breakfast in Baraboo or the Door County White Lace Inn with a little gas money to get you there. Now, each time we do this, 4 times a day, there's a different keyword that you'll need to text to us through the Civic Media app before the end of the hour. So if you don't have the Civic Media app, fix that. You got to do that. Go get it at Apple, Google, wherever. Then get that app installed. Go to one of the stations on the app. You can look up all the stations. Go to any one of them. And then use the text button to send us the keyword. Here's the keyword for this hour, and the prize is $100. $100 cash if you text us the word WAVE, W-A-V-E, WAVE, for $100. Text that before the end of the hour. You'll be in the running for a drawing among this hour's statewide entrants for $100, but you'll also be in the running for one of those grand prizes as well. Complete rules and details over at the Civic Media website, civicmedia.us, right there on the homepage. Click through it to learn more. And again, you'll have more chances to play today, 11 a.m., 2 p.m., 4 p.m., different keywords each time. Text them in, spell them correctly. Again, this hour, it's WAVE, W-A-V-E, for $100, and you can be part of the Scani Summer Text to Win contest. Meteorologist Brittany Merlot is off this morning, tells us a cold front is dragging across the state today, and it's bringing showers and storms that may turn strong to severe later today. And then once this all passes, comfortable and warm conditions will follow. Our state forecast goes like this: cloudy skies, showers and thunderstorms, though folks in southeast Wisconsin may not see this until this evening. Across northwestern Wisconsin, temperatures will be falling today into the mid-50s. And down in the southeastern part of the state, temps could hit the upper 80s and a southwest wind at 15 to 25 miles an hour. That wind will shift to the northwest as the front moves through and the rain makes its way out of the state. Lows tonight in the low 50s. Additionally, a big chunk of western Wisconsin is under an air quality alert for all that Canadian wildfire smoke, but do not be surprised if that area expands, because while the front is bringing rain, it's also dragging the smoke along with it as well. So, again, you'll want to take good care if you have any respiratory issues or just want to stay out of it, because it's just so thick and soupy and yucky and just not a great time for outdoor activity. Rob from Tigerton says, good morning. It's partly cloudy and 70. I did my Wittenberg mowing jobs yesterday, then today to beat the thunderstorms this afternoon. We really do need a good soaking rain, he says. Yesterday, I also mowed the yard of the country school where my dad and his siblings went to school. After my Wittenberg jobs, I tried to get some lawns mowed this morning before the rain comes. And we were talking earlier about testing tornado sirens, and he says Tigerton tests their tornado sirens at 11:15 every Wednesday. So again, Rob, thanks as always for the notes. You can send your notes as well. We were talking about June Dairy Month breakfasts. Alicia writes in on YouTube, yay, Dairy Month. I get to go to another breakfast on the farm this Sunday, this time in Outagamie County. And there are just so many great dairy breakfasts. And again, we're going to learn much more about them from Hans and Sheila coming up in just a little bit. Up North News is a separate entity from Civic Media. Love having this partnership every weekday morning from 6 to 9. But at Up North News, the Wisconsin outlet for Courier Newsroom, you can also get our newsletters. We now have three of them. We have a weekday daily newsletter. We have a Sunday morning politics newsletter that I put together. And as Christina Laurie told us in just the last hour, her monthly sports letter is now moving to a weekly sports newsletter about some of the good stories and the good people that help make up our Wisconsin sports from all the teams, college, pro, and otherwise. So you can sign up for any of those three newsletters, hopefully all of them. Head over to upnorthnewswi.com, click subscribe in the banner on top of our homepage. In today's newsletter from Christina, it starts with a little note about a pledge drive, because at Up North News, we do that. We do a pledge drive every quarter or so and show our appreciation for all the folks who chip in a couple of bucks. You know, our newsletter does not have a subscription. It doesn't have a paywall. Our website will never have a paywall, but we always need a little bit of help to cover the news that we do and appreciate your support. The newsletter also includes stories about where to get some of the best brats in Wisconsin and some of the best bike trails in Wisconsin. And there's a letter to the editor in today's newsletter. It goes like this. John Skaug lives in Osseo and is a retired scientist, avid gardener, and outdoorsman who is passionate about the transition to a clean energy economy, so his grandchildren's quality of life will be better than his. And so let me read a little bit from that editorial. He says, as a teenager in the early 1970s, I recall listening to evening news broadcasts that featured smog reports and stories about nearby lakes and streams, which pollution had rendered unfit for wildlife and for humans. Responding to the urgency at that time, members of Congress from both sides of the aisle passed the Clean Air Act and the Clean Water Act, created the Environmental Protection Agency, and began 50 years of progress. These laws and the regulations that came with them required the cleanup of industrial processes, reduced auto emissions, and more energy efficiency. Our natural resources, our environment today is better because of it. President Trump, he goes on to say, has never supported policies related to environmental stewardship, let alone climate change. His actions since taking office were expected, but not at the speed and scale that we are seeing. And again, you can get that full letter to the editor in today's newsletter, or head over to upnorthnewswi.com. Okay, I have asked this question on the program before, and I'm going to keep asking this question. I'm going to keep asking this question until we get a satisfactory answer. Does anyone else have control over Congressman Derek Van Orden's social media passwords besides him? It's not that he's insulting me in the comment section, though I couldn't help but notice he did it yesterday when we called him out again for gaslighting his constituents about the current budget bill. That's no big deal to me. But the notion that a member of Congress can spend so much time online just hurling insults and criticizing his constituents or worse indicates to me he either doesn't have much to do or he just doesn't want to do any actual work. Besides taking issue with something I said yesterday was especially noteworthy for the latest of his many attempts at doxing or at least facilitating the effort to have someone harassed or fired merely for criticizing their congressman. The latest case dealt with his comeback to a comment on one of his pages. That's just something he likes to do. He likes to get into the comment section and lash out at folks. Recently, a woman from Stevens Point put a sarcastic comment under one of his posts. Which, by the way, Congressman, that comes with the territory. Put on your big boy pants and absorb a few hits in the comment section. But no, Van Orden had to go in and respond with a screenshot of her current employment and then went and made a new post of his own, including her employment picture, saying, quote, "Another reason to be very suspicious of university professors. The vast majority of academia are left-wing activists that are indoctrinating our children, not educating them. This appears to be one of them." Something to note here. If you click on this woman's Facebook page where she made the comment, there is no employment listed. So, assuming she didn't change that recently, it means Congressman Van Orden had to take the time to look up a constituent of his. Online stalking, basically, for a man in his position. So that he could name and shame her for taking the time to put up a critical comment to one of his posts on social media. That's a congressman doing these things. So I went back again this morning. I haven't done this for a while, but I counted yet again to get a sense of the volume of his Twitter addiction. In the past 24 hours, Derek Van Orden has posted 45 times at all times of day. Our congressman has an addiction issue. Oh, wait, there's more. Overnight, Congressman Van Orden retweeted a conservative commentator's post alleging that some U.S. senators had financial ties to a shell company that got military contracts tied to the war in Ukraine. That original information that he was quoting was from a satire account. It had already been fact-checked as such a month ago. And Van Orden is still reposting false information with a little affirmation attached. That was just one of the 45 posts he made since 9 a.m. yesterday. That's our congressman in action, or maybe congressman in action, two words rather than three. Let's check some sports at 7:18. Roger and Stevens Point mentioned yesterday in the comment section, you know, the things you should use a comment section for, what a great job Christian Yelich had been doing and that he should be the National League Player of the Week. Roger was right. Christian Yelich was named National League Player of the Week yesterday. I was concerned he would not be in the lineup because he got hit in the hand with a pitch while at bat on Sunday, but Yelich was in the lineup. And in the third inning, he hit his fourth home run in six games. And the Milwaukee Brewers extended their winning streak to 8 games, beating the Cincinnati Reds 3-2 on Monday night. It's the Brewers' longest winning streak now since running off 9 straight in August of 2023. Aaron Civale picked up his first win of the season pitching for the Brewers. The next game of the series is this evening, and it will again start with a pregame at 5:35 on Civic Media stations in Richland Center, Oshkosh, Racine, Park Falls, and Hayward. And then game 3 tomorrow is a matinee affair, pregame starting at 11:05 tomorrow morning. And then the Brewers are off Thursday before coming home for a long homestand, starting with a weekend series against the San Diego Padres. Still ahead, we'll be talking to Hans Breitenmoser and Sheila Everhart about June Dairy Month activities. From the heart of America's up north, live from Lake Wissota, thanks for making this the place to spend part of your mornings. I'm Pat Kreitlow. You are listening to the Civic Media Radio Network. And one more reminder that our text to win word, keyword this hour, is WAVE, W-A-V-E, for $100. Text it in.
News from the Center, WRCE.
It's June Dairy Month, and though more than 5 million people call Wisconsin home, we share our state with close to 1.5 million cows. Those beautiful animals. Okay, I grew up on a dairy farm outside of Green Bay. They've been here since before we became a state. Can you answer this? Most of our cow's milk currently makes which product? Is it butter, cheese, or ice cream? The answer coming up. Wisconsin's first official milk plant. 1894 in the Waupun area of Fond du Lac County. Fast forward more than 120 years, now farmer-owned with a second location in the Outagamie County village of Black Creek, the Saputo plant is even featured on History Channel's Modern Marvels for its award-winning cheesemaking. So did you guess? Most of our cow's milk, 90% of it currently makes cheese. Gouda for you. Celebrating our dairy farmers with this slice of Wisconsin. I'm Terry Barr for the Civic Media Radio Network.
We are the keepers of the wild. For more than 80 years, we've been committed to conserving the natural landscapes that define our nation. Nothing is more important than maintaining wild spaces for adventurers to explore and wildlife to thrive. We are America's hunters and target shooters. Together with firearm, ammunition, and archery manufacturers, we've supported the conservation of more than 36 million acres of American wildlands. For more information, visit OutdoorStewards.org.
The Todd Albaugh Show.
Positive psychology coach Kira Sabin. It is great to have you back.
I love the idea of self-help, but there's also something called community help. We have become so divided, we've forgotten that our neighbor is really nice and makes great cookies and probably yes. has the same concerns on a daily basis that you do. I think that we think things have changed, and I think we're just have stopped talking to each other.
Catch The Todd Albaugh Show at its new time, weekdays 2 to 4. On Civic Media and the Civic Media app.
Being blind doesn't look how others may think.
Retinitis pigmentosa aimed to overwhelm my family.
It tried to cut me down.
I know where to find support.
Learn more at fightingblindness.org, a public service message from the Foundation Fighting Blindness.
As Wisconsin is dropping a line in your favorite fishing spot, this is the Civic Media Radio Network.
You're listening to Mornings with Pat Kreitlow on WRCE. I'm Bo Hendricks, and here's what's going on in Richland Center this morning.
We begin a full, big, busy week here of morning shows, including some FFA students coming up a little bit later on this week, and also Senator Sarah Kieski will be in the studio with us later this week. We'll talk about the Richland County Dairy Breakfast on Wednesday of this week. But in the studio with us today is Mayor Todd Coppernall from the city of Richland Center. How are things going, Todd?
Going great, Phil. Good morning. Another month gone and another month ahead of us. Let's go.
Yeah, that's what it seems like. It seems like you were just here. So
yeah, it does. It absolutely does. We're now into my favorite month of the year. I love the weather in June here and just sort of beginning of summer and the feelings that brings and all the everybody's back outside, right? And you see all the opportunities to get out and have fun. The farmers market is back up and running. Kayaking's back on the Pine River. The Aquatic Center will open in just a few days, and these signs of summer. And I see the people out enjoying what we have in town, and it always makes me feel good.
I always like the fact that we have so much more daylight, too, you know, this time of year.
Yeah, I don't.
Don't you?
No. I don't do well with the setting the clock back thing in the fall. I like this daylight. If they ever do make one or the other permanent, I vote for more light later so that there are things to do outside after work. That's a big deal to me, and I love that when you go outside at, you know, 8:45 and it's not fully dark yet and I smile and go, wow. See me in November.
Another graduating class from the Richland Center High School, Ithaca High School, graduated over the weekend as well.
Yeah, congrats to all the kids who graduated in all of our area schools. Congrats to their families, and thank you so much to the staff and faculty at each one. A lot of work goes into that. My mom was an elementary school teacher at Riverdale, and she still hears from the kids she taught, has held some of their babies, has attended some of their weddings and all of that stuff. It really is a bond. And sets up, you know, these kids are set up for their future by what they learn in our schools. So congrats, everybody. I saw quite a few parties going on. You could see the different venues full of people and the banners out. So congrats, everybody involved.
Absolutely. Well, let's talk about some of the things involving the city for summer. Obviously, you mentioned briefly, but the rodeo's coming up in a short amount of time.
Yeah, we're right on top of that. Big deal every year. Get out and watch them. These are terrific young athletes, and they work so hard to do this, and you're getting the best in the state right here in our city. That's a big deal. And I love to go out and watch and meet some of the families, because it isn't just the kid that's competing. The parents are so heavily involved, the families. It's not an easy thing to do. It's a big commitment to be part of that sport and participate. And it's fun to watch. I mean, it's an exciting event, but you just see the passion and the commitment. It's kind of a lifestyle event for these people. They're not just out there riding horses. They're into this. They live it. And when you give them a minute of your time, meet the family, meet the young person, and you'll come away impressed. I mean, because to do this at that level and reach, you know, state finals level, you have to have something on the ball. You have to put a bunch of work in, or you wouldn't just get there. And when you meet these people, you get it. These are young people, you know, that really put passion and energy into that event. And then the families do too, as I said. So I encourage everybody to attend that out at the fairgrounds.
It does a lot for commerce in the city of Richland Center. You know, I think we kind of forget that, but it brings a lot of people to town, doesn't it?
Yeah, it does. It does. A lot of people in the hotels and the restaurants and so forth in town. It's a good event for a lot of our local businesses, no doubt. And I like to support that. But the main reason to support that is the young people involved. And they're worth it. They earn it.
Mm-hmm. Puts the spotlight in Richland Center with the rodeo parade on that Saturday as well.
Yeah, we have the parade coming up. And then we're on to, event season, really, that'll run through the fall now. Because then not too late after that, at the end of the month, we'll have Thunderfest with our fireworks and the live music down there and everything that goes with that. It's always a great time, too. And just the simple things that people don't think about, maybe, if you live here and you just drive past them every day. I see families out enjoying our story walk in the park. I see families out playing disc golf here in the city. Things like that that we have. There's some fun amenities and nice additions we've had to the town. And it's just great to see people just enjoying our community. It's a beautiful place to live, and I love it when I see people out enjoying what we've got.
Thunderfest will culminate with the fireworks on, I believe it's the 28th.
That's right. Yep, and it's all set. Months ago, the city council approved the expenditure, of course, for the fireworks, and the pyrotechnicians have been in touch. They're looking forward to it. They always do. It should be a great night. Always is. And I encourage everybody to enjoy that, too. That's a long-running tradition here in town. I remember going to the fireworks at Crosscut Park with my parents. I was probably 5 years old the first time I remember it, and we're still doing that. And I love that. I really do. I love that. It's a great family event right here in town.
I remember being at Crosscut Park, and they were shooting them off right in Crosscut Park.
Right in the park.
It's a little bit different.
It's a little bit different. They were shooting them off right in the park. And then I remember Officer Jack Bauer, retired Richland Center police officer, checking the kids for firecrackers.
Oh.
With his flashlight. And always found some.
I bet.
Always found some. And just took them. He didn't make a big show of it. He just took them. And the kids made a big show of it when the police officer left with their firecrackers. But, hey, they were illegal, guys. That's funny. I've known Jack, and I grew up in the same neighborhood where Jack still lives. And those kind of things, you know. I ran into Jack at the senior center a couple years ago, and we hadn't seen each other in decades. And he introduced himself, and I started sharing stories from my youth, some of the stuff my friends did in high school. And it's amazing his recall, how many names he had immediately of the kids that he was involved with back in the day.
Yeah, you made an impression, it sounds like.
Well, luckily, it wasn't me. But he remembered a lot of my classmates very easily.
Well, what's going on construction-wise or anything like that you can shed a light on, Todd?
Yeah, so the agreement, the revised improved agreement that exists between the city and the developer at Panorama Estates states that they will break ground no later than June 15th, which is obviously right around the corner. I have been in touch with the builder. They're telling me they still believe they will hit that. I know there was some concern when there was some excavating equipment up there that moved off the site, and some people were concerned. I spoke to Mr. Kleinsasser about that. He got his first phone call asking why it was leaving before it was even on the trailer. So I said to him, if that's all you need to know about where this community is on this project.
We'll come back with more in just a moment after these words.
You've been listening to WRCE's local report on Mornings with Pat Kreitlow. Take your favorite WRCE shows with you on the go by downloading the Civic Media app in the Apple or Google stores. For WRCE and Civic Media, I'm Bo Henricks.
This is News from the Setter, WRCE. You can always continue the conversation on social media. Share your thoughts when you find and follow Civic Media on Facebook, X, and Instagram.
Turn it up. That is the theme driving thousands of Wisconsin State FFA members as they get ready for the state convention next week. I'm Pam Yonke with a quick update on what's happening in food and farming news on a Tuesday. And that energy is contagious. Jesse Thompson, president of the Wisconsin State FFA Association, says by seeing the success other FFA members are having, it bolsters FFA activities overall.
I was always taught success breeds success. And I think that FFA is an organization that's highlighting other FFA members for, you know, their accomplishments and really giving students a place to flourish. And when students see that, they want to get involved. And I think that it's just proves that students are really excited about what's going on in our organization. And there are many things that contribute to that. But I always like to reflect back on that success breeds success.
Jesse Thompson, he is the current president of the Wisconsin State FFA Association. The convention returns to the Alliant Energy Center next week, June 9th through the 12th, kicking off activities with their Day of Service. 12 different service sites around the Dane County area where FFA members will pitch in and help their neighbors.
The Classic Green Reunion comes to Wisconsin June 12th through the 14th in West Bend. This year's event showcases Model B and industrial tractors, Waterloo Boy engines, and even drills. Come for the tractors and equipment and stay for the tours, vendors, camaraderie, and a good old-fashioned Wisconsin fish fry. To see event details or to register for tours, visit classicgreen.org. The Classic Green Reunion, June 12th through the 14th in West Bend. See you there.
Wisconsin soybean growers have a lot of choices when it comes to selecting seed varieties. If you're a seed dealer, help make their choice a little easier by shining the spotlight on your products through the Wisconsin Soybean Yield Contest. By entering customers in the contest by the August 31st deadline, seed dealers will receive $100 for one grower, $200 for three, and $300 for five or more. Growers must complete an entry and harvest form to qualify. For more information, visit wisoybean.org.
And weather around Wisconsin's helped our crops flourish. According to the update from the Wisconsin Ag Statistical Service, as of Sunday, 93% of Wisconsin's corn crop was planted and 70% was rated good to excellent. 90% of our soybeans are in the ground. 80% of that crop rated good to excellent. Also, 85% of our oats rated good to excellent. Pasture conditions a little iffy depending on where you are. 72% of our pastures rated good to excellent as of Sunday. And our potato producers just keep rolling. 92% of our spuds already planted. That was as of Sunday. You need more food news? Well, you can get it anytime you want it. Pop on over to MidwestFarmReport.com. You can sign up for our daily e-newsletter there as well. I am Farm Director Pam Yonke.
Enjoying this local program? Find the complete Civic Media lineup at civicmedia.us or the Civic Media app.
Cloudy today with scattered showers and thunderstorms likely. In fact, we could get some heavy rain, a half inch to an inch or more possible later today through tonight. Our high today in the upper 70s to near 80. We'll drop to the mid to upper 50s tonight. Tomorrow, a few lingering showers with a high in the low 70s. I'm meteorologist Sean Cable. Currently, it's 71.
Wounded Warrior Project has been there for me since that first day in the hospital. They got me out of the house. They got me connected with other veterans, and they helped me face my PTSD. They support me and my family at every turn. And now I'm helping other warriors realize that they're not alone.
Through our hands-on programs, supportive community, and ongoing advocacy, we help post-9/11 veterans realize what's possible. Learn more at woundedwarriorproject.org/possible.
The Maggie Dawn Show.
Lily Roberts, she is from the Center for American Progress Action Fund.
They're trying to pretend that this bill would be good for the working class because of this really small carve out to our tax laws. The no tax on tips piece does not at all even come close to addressing the problem of wages in this country. You know, a third of workers who work for tips in the first place don't make enough money to pay taxes at all.
The Maggie Dawn Show. Weekday afternoons, 4 until 6 on your local civic media radio station and on the app. Maggie Dawn.
At 4 o'clock, Jim Santel joins me. We go deep on the conservatives writing in opposition to Donald Trump's tariff terror.
The Maggie Dawn Show, weekdays 4 till 6.
A quick reminder that the Scani Summer Text to Win contest is going on right now, and this hour's keyword is WAVE, W-A-V-E, WAVE, and the prize this hour is for $100. And so if you want to be part of the Scani Summer Text to Win contest, the folks statewide are texting in the word WAVE through the Civic Media app. And one drawing will be made this hour for the $100 cash. But everybody who enters is part of the drawing for the grand prizes, a Wisconsin Dells area vacation at the Ringling House Bed and Breakfast in Baraboo, or the Door County White Lace Inn, some gas money to get you there as well. And again, this will be done throughout the course of the day, different keywords each time, 11 a.m., 2 p.m., 4 p.m. And you have until the end of this hour to send this hour's keyword, which is WAVE. W-A-V-E. All right, June Dairy Month. We're in day three of it right now, and so it's a great time to talk to dairy farmer Hans Breitenmoser up in Lincoln County and Sheila Everhart from the Wisconsin Agricultural Tourism Association. We're having a few connection issues with Mr. Breitenmoser here. We will attempt to say hi to him in just a moment, but let me start with Sheila first. Good morning, Sheila. How are you?
Good morning, Pat. Thanks for inviting us on the show today.
You bet. So nice to have you here again. As always, there's always so much going on. And we're also, for folks going, are you just going to talk dairy breakfast? No, we actually have some serious legislative matters to talk about while we're visiting here as well. But Sheila, from an agricultural tourism standpoint, can you explain the significance of June Dairy Month and what it means in terms of attracting people to see the places that they just think milk and dairy products magically appear on their grocery store shelves? It's so much more than that.
Absolutely. You know, agricultural tourism is where agriculture meets tourism, and it's really popular amongst tourists and travelers because they want authentic experiences on working farms. Nothing is more authentic than having breakfast on a working dairy farm. Wisconsin agriculture is so important to our state. Our dairy farmers of Wisconsin are so critical in the delicious dairy food that we enjoy daily, whether it's fresh milk, cheese curds, ice cream, yogurt, you know, all of the special dairy treats that we have become. It's our staple here in Wisconsin, but other folks around other states want to come to Wisconsin to experience our tremendous dairy products.
Yes, so, and it's worthwhile to note that folks go, oh, are we just going to be drinking a lot of milk? No, all the products that you mentioned are there, as well as a good breakfast. In many of these places, there are more than five dozen dairy breakfast opportunities. We'll talk about some of those in a bit. Hans, let's check our connection with you. Are you hearing me okay? And if so, tell me about the importance of dairy breakfasts up closer to you. Oh, there we go. Let me try this connection with Hans again. Hans, are you hearing me? Nope, apparently not. So
I'm picking up the occasional garbled word, guys.
Oh, Okay. Tell you what, Hans, we'll call it good for this week. We'll work on getting a better connection line established in the new Madison studio, and we will catch up with you next week, and we'll talk to Sheila a bit more about the dairy breakfast things here. So, all right. Thanks, Hans. Have a great day. We'll talk to you a little later. Sheila, you, as we were getting into the food, but there's so much more than the food. If people come to these dairy breakfast events, they're going to learn about, as you put it, cow comfort and, you know, dietitians and barn designs and how milking is done. This is not just about a good meal. It's all kinds of educational opportunities as well.
Yes, it's very much educational how our dairy industry today works. All of the advanced technology that our farmers are using to ensure that their cows are very comfortable. When cows are comfortable, they produce more. And, you know, that is the farmer's biggest investment is their animals, and they take such good care of their animals. So these dairy breakfast on the farm. And if you go to wisconsindairy.org, in case you miss any of the dairy breakfasts we talk about today, check out wisconsindairy.org and you can see 62 different dairy celebrations, dairy breakfast on the farm. So Wisconsin Agricultural Tourism Association is asking our listeners to do the summer 4-4-8 challenge. Try to attend 4 dairy breakfasts, 4 county fairs, and 8 agricultural tourism destinations during summer of 2025, which we call the Wisconsin Agricultural Tourism Staycation. So at these dairy breakfasts, there are always family-friendly events and kids' events. But we talk about the industry of the cow comfort for the farms and for the animals. So cows actually have bedding. Some use sand bedding. Some have like a water bed. Do you remember the water bed
back in the
70s and 80s, right? So they want to have the cows to have the uniform comfort to support their bodies. And, you know, it's very important. We talked about these girls being the farmer's big investment, but they feed them so well. And they have a total mixed ration, which I explain to people that aren't farmers. It's kind of like granola. It's important ingredients that the cows need, including hay, corn, soybeans, fat, vitamins, and minerals, so that they have special dietitians that help those cows get the nutrients that they need, total mixed rations, so that not only are they comfortable, but they are fed well.
I think this is exactly the kind of thing that if we manage to get Hans on the phone, he could probably attest to. Hans, do we have a better line with you now on the phone? Hans, are you there? I see Hans is up on the phone board, but unfortunately, we're just not getting him patched through where we can catch him on StreamYard. Let me try one more time here. Hans, I'm going to try one last time. Are you there now?
I am here.
Hey, there you are. Okay. I'm hearing you one way or the other. So if you're hearing me okay, let's pick up where Sheila left off and talk about, you know, the formulated rations to make sure that, I mean, cows probably use a nutritionist more than a lot of people do.
Oh, absolutely. Yeah. If I would take as good a care of myself and my nutrition as I do of my cows, I'd probably be 7 feet tall and bulletproof. And yeah, but I do not have my own nutritionist. But by God, I've got a couple of them working for, not directly for me, but through feed companies that help us figure out the diets for the cows. So all the ingredients that we put up. Like, for example, yesterday we chopped first crop. In fact, we got done last night at 11:30, but we got it all in before the rain. So that feed is getting stored, getting packed here today and covered up. And then that feed will be tested by the nutritionist to see kind of what its value is as far as digestibility and protein and all the things.
And then with that, the nutritionist will build a diet, including that first crop haylage and corn silage and mineral and all sorts of other things. So the nutritionists are a really big deal.
So then when it comes to the milking parlors, Sheila's notes here remind us that we've come a long way since the bucket and stool, and that, milking parlors are all about, increased efficiency and, less time is spent milking, so you can do more cows throughout the course of each milking. I can only imagine what you would say about the changes that you've seen over the years.
Oh, yeah, for sure. I mean, I'm old enough to remember the buckets and the step saver and so forth and the stanchion barns and that. So it's definitely a human being efficiency thing, but it's also kind of a cow comfort thing because we want to make sure that the cows are spending their days eating, drinking, laying down, doing all the things. We don't want them to spend all their time in the milking parlor, in the holding area, waiting to be milked. And we want to make sure that the parlors are ergonomically comfortable for the cows and for the people who are milking them. So these are all considerations that we have, and that over the course of time, equipment has evolved and technology keeps going on. So yeah, just it's all about making sure those cows are comfortable and the people who milk them can do a good job safely.
And Sheila, I imagine as well, it has to be one of the most exciting things for kids that are on the farm tour that have never seen a milking parlor to see exactly how this gets done. And all the more so with all the more robotic technology has to make it just a show for kids and adults as well.
I think it's really important, especially for our more mature audience that might have been on the farm with the buckets and the stanchions, to see the advancement in the technology with the freestanding barns and the rotary parlors. And so there's quite a few farms that offer daily tours. Sassy Cow Creamery out of Columbus, outside of Madison, has tours. Pagel's Ponderosa out by Kewaunee in Green Bay. That's the largest private dairy farm in Wisconsin. And then Hinchley's Dairy Farm out of Dane County, who's also hosting a dairy breakfast June 14th, offers tours of their operation. And all you have to do is register online and bring the family and get a behind-the-scenes tour. But what's so nice about these 62 various dairy breakfasts throughout the state is that not only do you get a scrumptious breakfast, you get the opportunity to tour the dairy barn where the cows are being milked and learn about the farm operation.
We're talking to Sheila Everhart from the Wisconsin Agricultural Tourism Association and Lincoln County dairy farmer Hans Breitenmoser. Sheila, I've got just over a minute until break, so it's not enough time as you would like to answer the full question. But on the topic of wedding barns and the overhaul of liquor regulations last session, there's been talk about making sure that these farm venues are treated more fairly. Do you have a quick update as to whether that legislation is under consideration, making any progress, or is it still very much on a to-do list?
Well, there is an LRB that has been drafted, and we're looking for our Republican elected officials to sign on and support this bill that will give reprieve to the private agricultural event venues on working farms.
All right. And again, when she says LRB, that's the Legislative Reference Bureau, meaning they've written the bill. There is a bill. It needs to be introduced, sponsored, given a bill number. Then it goes to committee and enables, again, people to testify about these wedding barns or, some talk about pizza barns, other venues, and to make sure that the rules regarding, beer and wine sales are fair to everybody involved, not just the bars and the restaurants and the distributors, the distillers, the brewers, but to these small businesses as well that are essential for parts of agricultural tourism. Civic Media's political editor Dan Schaefer is coming up in our next hour, along with let's see, who's it going to be? Oh, it's going to be Chad Holmes, of course, because it's Tuesday from 98.9 WXCO. All part of our mornings, powered by Up North News, here on the Civic Media Radio Network. I'm Pat Wrightlow.
Local news, weather, and sports on air and streaming on the Civic Media app. This is the Civic Media Radio Network.
Are you living with dry AMD? If so, you could be on the road to geographic atrophy, or GA, a condition that leads to retinal cell death and permanent vision loss. But with iZurvey, you can
slow it down and get it going slower.
iZurvey slows GA progression by targeting a key source of retinal cell death, which may help preserve your vision longer. iZurvey, or Avastin Captid Pegol, is a prescription eye injection used to treat GA. Don't take it if you have an infection or active swelling in or around your eye. iZurvey can cause eye infection, retinal detachment, or increased risk of wet AMD. iZurvey may temporarily increase eye pressure. Your vision may be impaired after an eye injection or exam. Don't delay. Ask your doctor about iZurvey today.
iZurvey gets GA going slower.
Visit iZurvey.com. That's iZurvey.com. Paid for by Astellas Pharma.
Summer. It's time for Civic Media's Scotty Summer Text to Win contest right here on this local Civic Media radio station. We want to hook you up with $100 cash, Milwaukee Brewers club level tickets, and the chance to win a summer getaway to the Wisconsin Dells area or an escape to Door County. Download the free Civic Media app in the Google Play or App Store. Then listen in for the keywords during the 7 and 11 a.m. hour and 2 and 4 p.m. hour. Text in the keyword and get set to win. It's Civic Media's Scotty Summer.
I'm Dan Schaefer. Let's recombobulate. In discussions over the so-called Big Beautiful Bill, backed by Donald Trump, that's making its way through Congress, none other than Wisconsin Senator Ron Johnson has emerged as the most prominent Republican critic of the bill, saying at a recent Milwaukee Press Club event that it is, quote, not even close to adequate. Johnson has said he wants spending cuts to go even further, including making cuts to Medicaid. But Johnson's position as a critic of this bill makes him especially influential in these negotiations. But let's not forget the last time he was in a similar position. In 2017, he was a critic of the Trump tax cut bill, but what he fought for was a tax break for certain types of businesses, perhaps not coincidentally, businesses owned by his largest donors, Dick and Liz Uihlein. In 2018 alone, the Uihleins received more than $200 million in tax breaks because of this bill. So as the Big Beautiful Bill is negotiated in the Senate, let's not forget this piece of recent history. Find all of Dan's work at the Recombobulation area.
Not completing high school is more of a social thing than it was an academic thing. Even though all these years have passed, I still had that longing to have my diploma.
At age 30, Carissa finished her high school diploma.
If you're even considering getting your high school diploma, you can do it.
No one gets a diploma alone. If you're thinking of finishing your high school diploma, you have help. Find free adult education classes near you at finishyourdiploma.org. That's finishyourdiploma.org. Brought to you by the Dollar General Literacy Foundation and the Ad Council.
Join the family. Civic Media has a number of great jobs across the state open now at civicmedia.us/careers.
You're listening to Mornings with Pat Kreitlow on WRCE. I'm Bo Henricks, and here's what's going on in Richland Center this morning.
Lots more to talk about here on the next part of our program. And Mayor Todd, we'd be remiss if we didn't ask you about the campus and the reconfiguration and how that's going, from in relationship with the city and the county.
Right. The relationship between the city and the county over the last 5, 6, 7 years has consistently improved and changed. We evolved is a better way to say that. And not the city and the county, that's true. Interdepartmental within the city, it's true. I believe interdepartmental within the county, it's true. A lot of efforts have been put into sort of updating, modernizing, evolving to take down some walls and to explore opportunities. And the school district, too. The Richland School District, in this case, they're the ones that I've met with, to understand better and respect more the fact that we're a small city and a small county representing the same people. So when you can collaborate, do it. I'll give you one that's on my mind a lot, and I am not suggesting ending one or the other. I'm suggesting shared cost. I think it's crazy in our community, in this era, with the fiscal challenges small communities face and small counties face. I can sit in the city building, which houses the police department, and look right across the street at another police station. No. maybe once. We can't afford that. I'm not hiding anything. This community going forward can't afford things like that. Think about it. There's two police stations across the street from each other. How many cops do you think we have? Not 100. Okay, they could share a space. They probably should. And some resources. The same taxpayers are funding. I mean, look, it's like this. Okay, yeah, if you live in Dayton Township, your taxes aren't paying for the city police. And guess what? Just giving an example. If there's an issue in Boaz, you might get a city cop. Happens all the time.
Mm-hmm.
If it happens in the city, you might get a county cop. Happens all the time. They work together all the time. Because why? They're in the same place representing the same people. Okay? So why aren't they in one space? For the benefit of the taxpayer, why aren't they in one space? They should be. Why isn't fire and ambulance in one building? It should be. Look at how many communities it is. The answer is most of them. Not here. Why not? It should be. In one space. Shared space. Less cost. Makes sense. One roof to maintain. One furnace. One heat HVAC system to maintain with tax dollars. Fire and ambulance, one space. City and county police, one space. I'll bet if we kept doing this, if we brought people in from city, county schools, okay, don't leave schools out. They've been very willing to collaborate, very eager to participate in things like this. But if you keep looking for opportunities, it's simple things. You know, I don't have an example ready at the tip of my tongue. I apologize for that. But for instance, in the past, I'll just give you an easy one. If maybe utilities or the city owned a piece of equipment, did they always work together and say, you can use ours or we'll bring it there and do it for you? I'm going to say probably not. Are they now? Yeah. Evolution, you know, planning for the future, being more fiscally responsible. So campus property. I want to share an idea, and there's going to be, I don't know how many of them, to the folks at the county board that really have their hands full with this. It's a huge undertaking with critical importance for the community. Okay. I'm going to give credit where it belongs, Dale Schultz. Anybody ever hear of Dale Schultz? Was an elected official for a long, long time. State senator, state Senate majority leader. He comes to see me a lot in the mayor's office. And one time when he was down there, he said, have you looked at Verona in Dane County? I said, yeah, I know Verona. And he said, well, people might forget that it isn't very long ago. Verona was much, much smaller than it is now. Is this true? And then they got this place called Epic to come there. And it caused tremendous growth in Verona, which is now, in his words, spilling into Mount Horeb. So the surrounding communities are now benefiting as well from that move. Now, that was a big move. That was a very big move. Verona used what's called tax incremental financing to attract Epic. And I just said on this program, what Verona did is they invested in the infrastructure it took to attract Epic, to get it ready, to make it possible. They didn't throw money at it. They invested in what it took to get it. After financial review and all those things. And Epic completely changed the face of Verona forever. And Dale said to me, he said, the campus property, is there an industry we could attract that isn't here right now that might have jobs that pay better than the average job here? And he used Epic as the example. It didn't have to be that field, but as an example of a new industry that hadn't been in a small community being attracted into the community and having just unbelievable impact. Sounds good to me. And I don't know who that is. I'd love to have ideas come to us of who that might be. I mean, there's going to be 100 ideas of what you could use the land for, and that's fine. And when it comes down to it, the county board will have a lot to do to sort out what they want to propose and try to do. And then the city council will too, because that property exists within the city. It's unique. It's owned by the county, but it is within the city, which means, you know, the county's going to want to have final say in what goes on. And in a lot of respects, they're going to have that. But then city zoning, the city land use map, the city's comprehensive plan, all of these things simply must be taken into consideration. That's how it works. And so we're going to see sooner or later on that campus property, we will see collaboration between the county board and the city council. There's no way out of it. There shouldn't be either. It's too impactful. When you have that many acres owned by the county within the city, there should be collaboration. And just an idea that came from Dale, you know, what can you attract as an industry that could build out there and bring something we don't have that could have real impact. And I don't have one. It's at the tip of my tongue, I don't have one. I wish I did. But if somebody does or has an opportunity, I would urge them to let me know, let Dave Turk at the county board know, and on down the list, and tell the administrator at the county, the administrator at the city.
Well said. Mayor Todd, thanks for coming in.
Absolutely. As always, thanks for having me on.
We'll see you next month, and at that time, we'll be just past Thunderfest and the rodeo and all the great things going on in June.
We will be, and then we'll be looking forward to July in the middle of the summer. So everybody get out, enjoy what you do in the summer, be safe out there, and thanks again, Phil, for having me down here.
You've been listening to WRCE's local report on Mornings with Pat Kreitlow. Take your favorite WRCE shows with you on the go by downloading the Civic Media app in the Apple or Google stores. For WRCE and Civic Media, I'm Bo Henrich.
This is News from the Center, 1450 AM WRCE and 107.7 FM W299 CD Richland Center. And always on the Civic Media app.
ABC News, I'm Sherry Preston. 45-year-old Mohammed Salomon faces dozens of charges in the Boulder, Colorado firebomb attacks that left 12 people injured, including two who are still in critical condition. ABC's Mola Lenghi is in Boulder with more on who Salomon is.
He was born in Egypt and lived in Kuwait for 17 years before moving to Colorado Springs 3 years ago with his wife and five kids. According to authorities, he confessed he had been planning the attack for a year and was waiting until after his daughter graduated. Now, the FBI processing evidence seized from his home.
Law enforcement in New Orleans working to verify that video of Antoine Massey, if it's actually him. Massey's one of two escaped inmates still on the run from New Orleans. He claims that video was unjustly jailed and that he didn't break out of jail. He was let out. Convicted killer Grant Hardin's also still on the run. Police say he donned a makeshift guard's uniform and walked out of an Arkansas prison 9 days ago. Police think he's hiding in the Ozarks. This is ABC News.